Live and in color, the greatest award season of awards ever to be on the internet. Forget the Oscars, forget the BAFTAs, forget... Oh, I've forgotten. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Don't Let's Chat Big Book 2020.
It's not quite, Ben. We're doing that in the next one. Is the stuff that didn't quite win, right. But we still thought was good.
Oh, presenting the Don't Let's Chat Things We Thought Were Quite Good But Didn't Make the Vote 2020.
Hooray!
Bring gin. Hello and welcome to Don't Let's Chat with me, Ben Berker.
And me, Phil Cattrall. Hi, hello.
And as Phil did point out there, we did ask you to do a big vote on the internet. If you've been on our Twitter feed, at Don't Let's Chat, lots and lots of you, like, biggest response to anything we've ever done.
Yeah.
Voting for all the things. And there were so many good options that we've decided to save the actual top 25 for the next episode.
Yes.
And look at some of the other ones, because there were some fantastic things that came in, and it seemed churlish to just discard them, like yesterday's episode of IT Crowd.
Or indeed, you know, all episodes of IT Crowd.
We're going to look at each individual category that people voted on, and the top five also rounds for each one.
We got such a spread of things from, because everyone voted and everyone went in slightly different directions with things. So a lot of these, the main reason we need to do this second episode is to get these in, because otherwise they're just lost in the shuffle. So yeah.
And as we all know, Lost in the Shuffle was my failed garage single from 2012.
Was Dane Bowers on it?
Dane Bowers was under it, like a mechanic. Very much so. Like, well, I refused to let him sing on it, but I did let him
stand
sit
nearby
under every recording.
Good.
So why not? And appropriately enough, talking about pop music, we start with films. So any of these films starring Dane Bowers? No. Probably.
Has Dane Bowers been in any films?
I don't know. I was trying to think if Blue did like a crime caper like All Saints did.
But Dane Bowers wasn't in Blue. He was in Another Level, Ben. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wally, sorry.
Yeah, you've done it wrong.
I feel like there's another level to this conversation, which I'm listening to.
Don't try and cover up your embarrassing lack of knowledge on the late 90s, early noughties boy band scene. Don't you even try.
I feel like a freak in the morning and a freak in the evening.
That's not them either.
It is a freak one.
That's
again.
The Sugar
freaky
Babes.
With you. That
no,
one.
Freak in the morning, freak in the evening. It's Sugar Babes.
I'm sure they sing about freak in the morning.
Trust, you're the one that knows music, Ben. This is embarrassing for you.
I mean,
this is...
no, trust me. When I had my hands in my pants and a packet of biscuits in the early 2000s, it was not another level that I was freaking to. Grubby
yeah,
pants.
Let's do the film, shall we?
Yeah,
let's
do the top five films that didn't make our top 25. At five.
Flash Gordon, which I think we've mentioned Flash Gordon before as the epitome of, oh, that's on, I'll sit and watch all of this
a bank
now that
holiday
I've noticed
watch.
It's on. Not even a bank holiday. If I turn the channel over and Flash Gordon's on, I'm watching the whole thing.
No, that's fair. I mean, I say that because, you know, obviously you used to get films like that on bank holidays.
Yes.
Whereas now TV just goes, nope, we're not changing the schedule. I don't care if you're on holiday. We're still showing Homes in the Country, Homes Not in the Country, and then auctioning some other homes elsewhere.
Bargain Homes.
Bargain Homes, Flog Homes.
And if you're watching ITV4, Sherlock Holmes. Anyway. Flash Gordon. A lot of the votes that we got were for either sci-fi or comedy, or quite frequently somewhere in between the two.
Yes. Yeah.
And this kind of straddles a line. There's bits of it that I don't think are supposed to be funny, but are funny. Yeah. I think most people just remember Brian Blessed screaming.
I'm hoping sort of number four is Flesh God, which really no. confused me in video shops because I was like, have they spelled it right? I don't understand.
No, number four is also one that your mum wouldn't let you get out of the video shop. It's RoboCop.
Oh, well, you said that, but I think I watched RoboCop aged about nine. So
yeah, I was 10. But it was at someone else's house. It wasn't at home. My parents would have gone mental if they caught me watching RoboCop, which is, you know, it's unfair. My dad's Dutch. He should be supporting the work of Dutch directors.
This is fair.
RoboCop's the sort of satire you don't really get anymore.
Not on that budget, no.
Well, I mean, I just mean at all. I mean, the RoboCop remake, I don't know if you've seen the remake.
I have, and it was stripped of all of the...
Well, they had a bit at the start and a bit at the end with Samuel L. Jackson's character that was supposed to be satire, but kind of wasn't.
No.
And then the rest of the film is nothing to do with everything else. So
no. I'll be honest with you, controversial opinion perhaps, but I felt the remake was fine. If it had been an original film that wasn't called RoboCop, yes. It would have been fine. It was just a standard action
yes.
sort of thing.
As a film overall, it was fine. It had that one creepy bit where he says, get all this stuff off me, and then all that's left of him is like his heart and one hand or whatever was left.
Oh, yeah.
That was some proper body horror.
It was for
like,
a 12A. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, at three.
Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Okay.
Which, in my humble opinion, which I expect to get torn to shreds, I think it is probably the best made Python film, but I like Holy Grail more.
Same, absolutely 100% the same. I like Holy Grail more because it's just...
Stupid. It's just stupid.
Sometimes I feel that all the stuff about Life of Brian makes it more interesting than the film.
I mean, I think Life of Brian is a coherent narrative, whereas Holy Grail isn't. But yeah, you're right, the stuff surrounding it and the stuff, you know, the behind-the-scenes conversations about how, oh, Graham Chapman can remember his lines now because he's not drunk all the time.
Absolutely. You know, obviously people going, well, it's about Jesus. It's like, no, the first scene is literally him stood trying to hear Jesus.
At the Sermon on the Mount, yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
It's explicitly not Jesus.
How blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. Speak up!
Number two,
Blade Runner.
Excellent film, excellent sequel.
Yes, both fine.
Which is rare to say.
Blade Runner is one that I was lucky enough to get to see it in the cinema. There's a cinema in Nottingham that just reruns old films occasionally, and this was one of them.
Which version was it? Was it the
it was
final cut?
Yes, it was final cut, because there was no voiceover.
Yeah, as people probably know, there's various versions, but if you don't, basically the original version came out, the studio insisted on a voiceover explaining a lot of stuff which didn't really need explaining because they said it was too hard to understand. And then they did a director's cut, and then Ridley Scott kind of made a final version, didn't he, about 10 years ago?
Something like that, because the director's cut did not involve Ridley Scott.
No.
I think they consulted him on it, but he didn't actually get the cut. There's some things I prefer about the original cut. Obviously, Harrison Ford really not giving a shit in that voiceover is not one of them. I don't like that. But I find the idea that he's definitely a replicant not that interesting. I don't think that's useful.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the vagary of it which makes it.
Well, it's not even just that. And I think it was Mitch Benn that I saw saying this on Twitter once. The fact is that he is human, but he is a monster, whereas all the replicants are not.
Yeah.
That's more interesting to me, the idea that it's like there's this arbitrary line of, well, you weren't created in a lab, therefore you're fine, even though you are a murderer.
Yeah, this is true.
So, yeah.
Number one, the most voted for film which didn't make the list.
Ghostbusters, the original one, I'm assuming. So it's not Ghostbusters 2, and it's not the 2016 one. I'd be fine with any, but I'm pretty sure it's the original one that we've got here.
It genuinely behooves a film to have an ending, which the 2016 one does somewhat struggle with.
Yeah, it's...
But other than that, it's a brilliant film.
It's got a lot of people in it doing a lot of stuff that I like, and then you get to the end of it and go, was there a narrative here?
There's not really a... There's not really a...
I appreciate... well done, Paul Feig. You've let people improvise for a bit. Could you cut it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Cut it back a bit? Keep all the Kate McKinnon bits. That's fine.
Cause... Yeah. But the original as well, I think, is another one of those that you watch it, love it as a kid, then you go back to it as an adult and go, oh my God, I forgot how filthy this was. And I don't just mean the ghost blowjob scene.
Well, I mean, we've talked enough about the ghost blowjob scene, I think. We've talked about it before. I found the library ghost right at the start to be absolutely terrifying.
The
first time I watched it, that's as far as I got before going, nope.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It's a weird one because it doesn't hold its punches when it comes to the actual horror aspect of it, which I think is why, like that and Gremlins, which famously came out the same day, are still beloved because they are funny, but they don't mince around with the scares, you know.
No.
And obviously, it's strange because we in America, they had the PG-13 certificate pretty much for those two films, in fact. And, stuff like Indiana Jones, which was a bit near the knuckle. We didn't get the 12 until the 90s.
Batman. Batman, wasn't it?
The cinema, but on video.
Oh, yeah, no, it was either PG or 15 for home video for ages, wasn't it?
So, obviously, it was just Gremlins 15 and Ghostbusters PG. And then you look and it goes, neither of those...
Yeah,
I'm particularly suited. You know.
Those are both not okay. Just to note as well, one of the first things that I ever bought with pocket money, which I think I may have talked about before, was a Ghostbusters ghost popper gun, which
not
just fired little foam darts.
Nice.
I'm doing hand gestures to indicate the firing of foam darts. If you Google it, you'll see. You'll be able to work out very quickly how it works, and the answer is cheaply. I lost many of the darts fairly quickly, and my dog chewed some of the other ones, but, you know, I saved up my 10 English pounds and bought that.
Nice. So. And speaking of you popping your ghosts out everywhere... I think that's what they call it. Toys. Sure. Did the Ghost Popper make it onto our also ran top five toys?
It did not.
Five.
At five, Action Man. The
greatest hero of them all.
Yes. You're right.
I've heard that rumour.
That's him. I'm assuming that mine came from one of my cousins. Because it had like a million outfits with it. It was in a bag that was like Snoopy's
Action Man and his famous
car.
Action Man bag.
But it was a Snoopy bag. It was like a bag that was shaped like a VW van.
Yeah.
With Snoopy driving it. It was a very odd.
I mean, that's undercover. That's as undercover as it gets.
Yeah. But there was loads of I had loads of outfits for it. And I didn't play with it much.
To be fair, it's better than the one I got, which was an empty box and my dad said was an Action Man deserter. Da-da-da-da-da jokes.
Good
at
work.
Four.
At four, cap guns.
I think it's a
cap
Casper.
Gun. No, Casper. Not everything's about Casper, Ben. We've done
no,
ghosts
no.
already.
I like a Tatey gun, I'll be honest with you. Do you still get Tatey guns?
I think you can still get both of these. I think cap guns have largely fallen out of favour because letting kids have even small amounts of explosives is frowned upon these days.
I just remember the smell more than anything.
I seem to remember I only ever had a cap gun or some caps. I never had both at the same time.
No. I remember throwing caps a lot.
Harkens back to the days of playing out. Which I did, as you can imagine, rarely. And when I did, I wanted a gun.
Fair. Fair. At number three,
Scalextric.
I mean, is this should be just toys you always wanted but never got?
No. Because I had all of these things so far. We're going to get to some of that, right. Don't you worry. But the Scalextrics, going back to the whole we weren't big into buying new toys, one Christmas what I got was a massive Scalextric set, but it was all in black bin bags. So,
right,
obviously a second-hand job, but God, I played with that thing for ages. The main fun I remember having with my Scalextric set, which is not what you're supposed to do with it at all. So if there are any children listening, one, don't. Two, don't do this. I had a... What the heck? It was a Zoid. I had a Zoidzilla.
This is the most on-brand story.
It really is. It really is. Zoidzilla had a big bit of metal in the back of its head to balance it. It was just a solid lump of some sort of conductive metal. So I took that out and put it on my Sky Electrics track. And then I pulled the trigger and watched the sparks go.
Oh, no.
So no fires.
But also, yeah. Did the carpet catch fire?
No. Somehow nothing happened other than one or other of my parents saying, don't do that, Phil. As an actual competitive race, it's not great fun. It really isn't.
Number two,
the AT-AT from
Star Wars
Empire specifically.
Oh, from Empire. Yeah.
I think they're called.
Yeah, never had any Star Wars stuff as a kid, but I did have a friend who had the Millennium Falcon. It was full of figures.
Yeah,
and I'd never seen the films at that point, and I remember we just mistreated them horribly. And it's the sort of thing where, you know, like people on auction sites in the future weeping. What we did.
I mean, I was the same. I had Boba Fett's ship from Return of the Jedi, which I think we got from Lewis's in Manchester. They had a whole... I remember going there at Christmas and them having a whole section of Star Wars toys, and I was absolutely transfixed. I got a slave one.
To be fair, that Christmas you just asked for slaving toys, and that's just so happened to be what you got.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But yeah, I had a bunch of minor characters that Kevin J. Anderson has probably written 37 books about. I don't like Kevin J. Anderson. We've covered this. I would have loved an AT-AT, and I would have broke. I had an AT-ST. I had the two-legged one.
I had an Amiga.
Boo.
No. And number one on the toys that didn't quite make our list.
Tracy Island.
We were the right age to be in sort of the mania for Tracy Island, just about. Mm. Yeah. I'd say when it came out, because for some reason they started a repeat run on BBC Two, and it went gangbusters. It went mad.
It really did, like, yeah.
Popularity, and I think it kind of tied into that whole. There was a lot of kitsch, 60s throwback. And of course, the famously made Tracy Island, Antia Turner made it, and it was so popular. They put a video out just of her making Tracy Island on Blue Peter.
So I'm going to say that is original Tracy Island, the Blue Peter one, and your revised Tracy Island.
Okay. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't get the original Thunderbirds at all. I don't get it.
You prefer Terrorhawks, don't you?
I mean, Terrorhawks, certainly just for the noughts and crosses alone. and I can't remember what the title is, but there is a parody version of that. So just encourage you to go find the new team. I won't spoil anything else.
No, it's pretty good.
Other than Hitler.
There is some Hitler. Some Hitler.
Is any Hitler in our next section?
You tell me, because it's the quiz.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. we had a vote for colours, and amazingly, wasn't that interesting? Although, well done if you put Azure or Onyx. So what I thought I'd do is I'd do a little colour quiz. So the answers are a question, something to do with colours, and I want you to write the answers down, just keep track of them. So one... The medical condition periorbital hematoma is better known as a black
eye.
Correct. Okay. What goes with green eggs to make a beloved Dr. Seuss children's novel?
I believe, Ben, that is ham. Ham.
Ham. Welcome to Don't Let's Ham.
No, do ham.
Do please ham. Do send ham.
Let's
do a podcast where people just send us ham.
I don't want postal ham.
I mean, you can't just write the address on the ham and put a stamp on it. I don't know if that counts.
Are you familiar with our listeners? That is absolutely what they would do.
No, that is fair enough. Number three. What rock did Graham Greene write about and Queen sing about?
Oh, Brighton.
Brighton. Okay. Number four. Mm-hmm. Often rudely referred to as Red Indians, which Native American tribe was home to Sitting Bull?
Was it the Sioux?
He was a Sue. Yes, well done. Which film does Michael Caine appear in as the fantastically named Peachy Carnahan? It's The Man Who Would Be...
Oh, The Man Who Would Be King.
Yeah, just King is enough. Beginning, I sit around and watch the tube, but nothing's on. What sort of view did Green Day sing about on their first UK chart entry?
Long, Ben.
Correct. It was coming from the Latin phrase, white rent, which phrase means to extort money by public accusation, exposure or censure? So it's also a very good Monty Python sketch.
Oh, is it blackmail?
Yeah, it's blackmail. Now all you can think of is Terry Jones' ass. next one. This is quite fitting for you, considering. Based on a Warren Ellis graphic novel.
Right.
Are you familiar with Warren Ellis's work?
I think I might have most of his work, yeah.
Which once quite good Bruce headlined the Red films with Helen Mirren?
Willis.
Yeah. Your gingivae can be found where?
Mouth?
In the mouth, yeah. Yeah, gingivae costs you gums and that. So, what's the connection?
I'm not doing it.
Could you read out all the answers, please?
No, I cannot read out
if
all the
I
answers.
If I spend half an hour writing this, you can read out the answers.
I ham Brighton Sue King Long Black Male Willis in the mouth. You absolute tool.
Are you a fan of Sue King Long Black Male Willis? At which point did you work it out?
Well, once I ham was a clue, it was going to be something appalling.
You are bright on Sue King Long Black Male Willis in the mouth. And that's the quiz!
You are a clown. I am.
I wrote that specially for you. Television.
Television.
Now this
yeah.
this was, I think, the one that got the most disparate answers, which is, I suppose is not surprising, considering we just kind of vaguely just best TV show. But yeah, there was a lot of options, a hell of a lot of options, and some of them did make the top 25. You'll find out in the next regular episode. But which five didn't? At five.
At five, the Kenny Everett Video Show.
Hello! Magnus Puke here. Well, it was last time I looked. Yes, it's definitely me down there.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's connected with another television show as well, just in general. Video shows, one he did for Thames, him in front of the TV screens linking into sketches and music performances. It's very, very good.
Yes.
But it's also very ramshackle. I think that's why people love it a lot, because it's got that kind of homemadeness.
It's a Life of Brian versus Holy Grail scenario, where it's like, yeah, okay, this one's better made, but I quite like the fact that this one's frayed at the edges. Yeah.
Number four,
The Wire.
I mean, again, I don't think anyone needs us to tell you The Wire is quite good.
Yeah, it. I mean, I'm rewatching Homicide at the moment. I've just reread the book.
That's kind of same creator, same author, same kind of style. There is a comic thread in The Wire, which a lot of people don't see. Some very black humour, which our friend Tim Worthington and us are always find. You know, stuff like fell out the damn window.
You've got to be the stupidest that I've ever gone out with.
I can't wait to go to jail.
What'd you say?
It's as good as people say, and I know it's really annoying when people say, you've got to watch so-and-so, and of anything, The Wire has been that programme for the last, like, 15 years. But
a lot of people drop out Series 2, and I understand why, because those dock workers are not very interesting.
No, this is fair.
But it definitely picks up in season 3 is maybe the best.
I think 3
is
the best.
I don't know.
Of the lot, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Number three,
Frasier.
Because Dr. Frasier boss is, yeah.
Yeah. You forget that there is never a second wasted.
No.
They must have gone through those scripts over and over and over, cutting bits and honing it. And good God.
Yeah, I mean,
that
absolutely.
Is some tight writing.
Yeah, 100%. And I remember watching it, because it started on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock before moving to Fridays, where it stayed for pretty much its entire run up to the last series. I think they just let people discover it. And now I feel there's a lot of people who love Frasier who've never seen Cheers.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair. I think Channel 4 is showing Cheers as well.
Yes.
Which means you get some weird situations where you get the episode where Frasier meets Lilith for the first time, and then you watch an episode of Frasier where he's having long distance arguments with her over childcare, and you're like, I've literally missed a decade here. How did that happen? even in I distinctly remember in the first episode of Frasier, there's a moment where he's in his apartment by himself for like the only time in the show, and he's just playing his piano, and then there's the knock at the door to announce that his dad has arrived to move in, and it's just the clung on the piano and the downcast look. It's just like, oh, this is... We know that Kelsey Grammer has a lot of substance problems, but good God, he is an excellent comic actor.
100%. Number two.
Friends. Yeah, it's not been allowed to go away.
Nope. That's, again, it's the issue. It's very much... It is on to an hour a day on Channel 5, a couple of hours a day on Comedy Central, and it's all on Netflix. And I'm not begrudging it at all. It was. It's hard to get people to realise things that if you're watching at the time. But I started watching Series 1 and thought, there's no substance to this. It's not funny enough. All these people are irritated. I'm not going to watch it. So I watched first two or three, and then I stopped watching it.
And then it exploded.
And then it was series two started, and I still wasn't watching it. And then about two or three episodes in, there was literally nothing else on. And I put it on, and it was the one where their awkward old neighbour dies.
And Chandler's
worried he's going to turn into him and stuff like that. And I watched that, and I absolutely pissed myself laughing.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it was a big deal when Sky stole it away.
Yeah.
And... you know, there was that and the X-Files. I can remember getting friends to tape it for me that had Sky, so I could still watch it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a huge deal, and then it goes off a cliff fairly quickly.
And number one, the most voted for program, which didn't quite make it into our list,
it's The Simpsons.
Which, yeah, amazing. That surprises me. I thought, you know, Simpsons would be with a bullet. I mean, obviously, Disney Plus is allowing people to watch 30 years worth of programming in one thing, as our friend Gareth is doing. Find him at Invader Ace on Twitter, and he is reviewing all of them.
Talking about Frasier being an incredibly tightly written show, series what, 2 through 9 of The Simpsons is as tightly written as that.
Yeah. I've been going through season 12 recently. I just picked that one because I hadn't seen it for ages. And I'm like, oh, this is all right. And then episode 5 is Homer versus Dignity. And it's like, oh.
Which I have stated publicly is my least favourite episode of The Simpsons. I hate it.
Yeah, no, this is 100% accurate. I say accurate because I am a horrible histories theftist, but also because our final category that we were going to bring up the top five of is animals.
Yes.
This one was interesting. This was very interesting.
There is a whole world of animals, and we thought people were going to go mostly for domestic pets, and they did not.
As we'll find out with number five.
Number five, orangutan.
Can you say that again?
Orangutan. Yeah, as Vic Reeves used to say when
orangutan.
You got a question right or wrong. As we all know from the works of Terry Pratchett, an orangutan is an ape, not a monkey. It is very important that you remember that.
Yes, especially if you want a book out.
Or if you just don't want your arms knotted behind your head.
No, I've never really had a love of banana-eating furry pals.
A primate affinity, if you will. I can understand that.
To be fair, we're more prime acquaintances than primates, I'll be honest with you.
Yes, that's fair, that's fair. I like an orangutan. It's those big arms, those big lolloping arms that are very entertaining to me.
I mean, I like it when they turn around and mention the displeasure of a duck. That is always quite good. And their northern accent.
I was going to say, are any of the listeners going to get that joke? Yes, they are. We've seen the demographics. They're all going to get that joke. Every single one.
I hate that demographic.
No, that demographic's fine. Please don't be mean to our demographic.
I wish I could be in that demographic. And I am. No, you're not. No, I am. Number four.
Number four, the fox.
Sneaking around like a... Fox.
It does not specify whether urban or rural fox, so I'm assuming it's a catch-all.
Or Robin Hood.
Now that is a problematic cartoon in many ways.
I will punch all of your faces. The people have come back and gone, look at all these bits that have been reanimated off
from the Jungle Book, yeah, yeah,
stuff like that. But I like it. It's funny. The songs are great.
Yeah,
I like the characters, and it's a good, fun film that hasn't been overplayed.
No, I agree.
And likewise, isn't a misery fest.
No, it is just some silly fun. Yeah,
and I enjoy it immensely. And Fantastic Mr. Fox as well, which is a brilliant.
Do you know?
Film.
I've read the book. I don't think I've seen the film.
It's got a lot of Wes Anderson stuff about it. Of long pauses and unusual characters. I mean, you've got Farmhand, which is played by Jarvis Cocker.
Right.
And looks like Jarvis Cocker. It's great.
You've given the tone there at that point. Yes.
Yeah, no, I have. And he did Isle of Dogs, obviously.
Isle of Dogs too. You don't see me moaning about it to everyone.
Hey!
Thank you. Number three! Thank you, Vic Reeves. Number three, Duck.
Nope, what happened?
There we go.
More of a visual joke, that
yes,
one, I appreciate it.
Indeed.
I'd like you to know that I did.
I 100% believe it. I mean the waterfowl, Ben.
I don't mind it. I don't think it's foul.
The aquatic bird.
Fine, yeah. Fine. Again, never really had much of an affinity either way. But
well, the village I grew up in had two duck significant things. So there would be a duck race once a year where you would make a duck out of paper and race it through the stream in the village. And it also had a section of road that was marked as a duck crossing where cars were expected to stop in the event that ducks wished to cross the road. So
yeah, there you go. And if they wished to, obviously they waved a flag and said, excuse me, I wish to cross over this particular forest.
In fairness, it should have been a bit of the village where people weren't driving particularly quickly anyway, so you hope that they just see them rather than having to raise a flag, but I take your point.
Number two,
bear. The particular sort of bear is
thanks
not...
for asking. Well, I do all my recording in the day. moving on.
Yeah, doesn't specify the sort of bear.
Bear's a comedy. And yet, strangely, Yogi Bear is one of the least funny things in the world.
It really is.
It's, bears are naturally comedy. You know, like that John West advert where the bear comes on and
that's
stealing
good.
His salmon. That's funny. Yeah. Fozzie Bear is funny.
Grizzly Man, not so much.
Not so funny. Not so much. It depends on your sense of humour on that one.
I mean, no. I don't
some,
think it...
some people have a dark sense of...
Yeah, but there's dark and there's dark. If even Werner Herzog is listening to a tape and going, literally no one else should ever listen to this, then no.
I think we've had, like, comedy bears throughout our lives.
Yeah.
Paddington. Like, Three Bears in the Beano on Paddington, yeah. And not Yogi Bear, because, once again, he is tedious.
I was going to say, I think that's more of a Hanna-Barbera thing than a bear thing. That's
yeah, no, that's probably true. Hanna-Barbera had no budget, but,
Hanna-Barbera.
Hand over bear ass. Yeah, that's
and
what
they
I
had
call
the hair
them.
Bear bunch as well. Let's not forget who were also not funny.
Yeah,
and the CB bears.
Oh God, delittling.
They were obsessed with bears. Hanna-Barbera were obsessed with bears.
It's not untrue, and not just because they could change the head on it and call it a different character, use the same animation.
Fair point.
Bear point. Number one.
Best, and it's not the best, but it's the best one from this list. Capybara.
Capybara. Whoa.
I bloody love capybaras. Recently on Twitter, someone posted a video of a capybara. It was like 45 seconds long, and it's like, now pay close attention. Watch for the moment where this woman should have stepped away. And it's the woman just goes up to it, starts stroking it, and it's lying in the sun, it rolls over on its back and she tickles its stomach, and for the entire 45 second length, literally nothing happens. It was just a trick to get you to watch a video of a capybara being happy, and it was great.
Now that sounds fantastic. Happy birthday.
Absolutely, it was brilliant. That's I love awesome. Capybaras, they're amazing. I can't have a pet in this flat, and I don't think you're allowed to have capybaras as a pet, but I'm still tempted to try and sneak one in here.
And I love the fact, not only is that it's quite a sideways animal when you consider the possibilities, but also the fact that it's sideways enough for our listeners to go,
yeah,
that's the one. And that's what I love about the people who listen to this programme.
Yeah.
You know, for better or worse, we're all on this raft together. Whatever happens in the world.
I also like that the capybara just isn't bothered. It's just that a happy
no,
beast.
It's just, it seems chill. It seems what I would like to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a squad goal thing. So, if you are a capybara and you have been typing furiously, voting for yourself, bad luck. You didn't quite make the top 25, which we'll find out in a fortnight's time. The top 25 will be in the last of the present series of Don't Let's Chart. It's going to be a big blowout for the end of the series. In the meantime, we'll have another nights. If you want to hear that, go on our Patreon, patreon.com/Don't Let's Chart, where for $3 a month you get 2 extra episodes in which we talk nonsense. And we're going to do a little bit more, actually, from these particular list-based situations.
Indeed.
Don't know why I went there. Didn't need to move.
I would say as well, just in case any Americans are listening, when we say end of the series, we don't mean there's no more after this. But we call season series. That's just so as you know, it's fine. There's more coming, don't worry.
I mean, maybe they should panic and, like, you know, start telling the friends and also sending large baskets full of meats and wines.
I don't want baskets of meat. I do not All want right, postal no, meat. We have yeah, covered this.
Yeah, postal ham. Send that to Phil. I'll don't. Have the wine.
Please don't.
And until next time, I have been Peachy Carnahan's best pal, Oranges.
And I have been a wire. Not the wire, a wire.
Good wires!
I ham Brighton Sue King long blackmail Willis in the mouth.